Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Coming up at 8:30, the producer of a new documentary, which is called The Great Brady Heist, about the theft of Tom Brady's Super Bowl jersey, Gotham Chopra, will join us at 8:30. Tomorrow on the show, it is Ask an Attorney with Larry the Lawyer, who will be here just about this time tomorrow answering all of your legal questions for free. Here's a 508 text that says, if it is read all text time, now that you're at WEEI, do you only follow Smokes Back on Instagram?
Yeah, I believe that's still your standard.
I still have that policy.
Yeah.
And, you know, no disrespect, but I only follow Smokes Back on Instagram. Here's a text that says, has Donut Lassie created a show TikTok yet? I don't think Donut Lassie did that. Let's ask Donut Lassie, our director of social, vice president of social media on the show, Stanley Stisgrimy.
No, we haven't, but I think that's a great idea.
Why don't you get on that? That's all the rage right now, right? The TikTok?
The TikTok, huh? Yeah.
TikTok is all the rage.
You had to put the in front of it.
The TikTok.
Boomer!
TikTok.
Yeah. Well, there's no concern about me doing the phone charger penny challenge, y'all, because I can't figure out how to work the phone charger. Right. So,
do you have a charger? My battery's on 4%.
And the best thing is when you do, quote, the TikTok, you're giving all of your information to China.
I was trying to figure out a technology issue yesterday, which is that my Instagram stories that I'm looking at, or if somebody is sending me one,
yes,
I don't have any volume on it, and so I can't. I was doing online tutorials and trying to figure out.
Did you click the up button on the volume on the side?
Yeah, I did. I clicked the up button. That's like telling somebody to kick something. That's what our engineers do around here. Is if something
is it
working,
on?
They say, "Have you tried to kick it?
Is it plugged in?"
But I can't. I don't know what that is.
Is it every story? Because I've noticed lately,
it's every story,
every single one. Because sometimes I will like. we were out the other night. At your event for the Greg Hill Foundation, one of our lovely coworkers, Courtney Fallon, had posted a story with me, and I went to repost it. The audio didn't post, though. So when I looked at it, I'm like,
well,
oh, that's weird.
Well, you might have the audio, the speaker button thing on the X, not on the on thing.
It was that on. I don't know why it didn't post, but I've noticed a few other, like, when I watch other people's stories, the same thing will happen, that it'll go audio, no audio, so I don't know. Maybe
well, as you know, I'm not on SnapFace.
508 text, can we get a ratings check? That's Curtis, who likes to gloat about ratings.
Yeah, consecutive number one ratings for weeklies here on the Greg
Hill. Don't
talk Morgan
about
show.
Weeklies.
Well, if they're back-to-back, it's more than a weekly. It's half a month.
Yeah.
I prefer just to talk about ratings books.
Uh-huh.
Because that's an extended period.
Yes.
That's 3 months.
Consistency.
So, you know, we have 4 ratings books. And so I prefer to talk about those.
Pretty big weeks, though, following Pats games. We don't get the Pats games on the station. We had back-to-back number one weeklies.
Talking about weeklies is kind of like declaring your defense is the best ever after only 8 games.
Right.
I have boogeyman shirts ready for you.
But yes, the show was... So that was the last 2 weeks that we worked in December.
Right. Leading into Christmas.
Right. The show was number one.
Correct.
So sincere thanks for that. But listen, it's work in progress. You never count your chickens before they're hatched.
Oh, I mean, the show was pronounced dead before it aired. So
yes, it was.
And Greg,
yes,
listen, when you get that sweet holiday bump from Mutt, Wiggy, and Fitzy, I'll just say you're welcome in advance.
I will not be reporting those numbers.
Can you please get the holiday ratings?
By the way, Ken, in the computer is a 2-minute highlight reel that I had Eamon and Nick LaPan put together the other day of every mispronunciation that Wiggy... was a couple of mutts, but Wiggy might have butchered 15 names on Monday. It is 2 of the funniest minutes. Maybe later we can dig it up for an end-of-the-day bit.
And this
it is gold.
This is not a joke. Mutt, on the old show, there were studies done. On days that he's on the radio in the morning, the whole city's listening went down. Like, it wasn't just just us. It was across the street. It was everywhere.
So does this mean we're not going country? Because I was looking forward to a good festival season this spring.
Well,
concerts.
No, I like country music. I did a 30-minute country ride on Peloton last
All right,
night.
Now it's getting to be a little bit much.
I mean, that wasn't even close to a close turn to get to Peloton there.
I mean... Does your shoulder hurt from that reach?
What are they paying? Can we get some of this?
Right. They're paying me to say it's a cult and that I've been indoctrinated into it.
You are.
You'll know he's getting paid when he stops calling it a cult, right. Which should be, by my calculation, in about 2.5 weeks.
I mean, Peloton.
Nike's in Kool-Aid over here, guys.
How fast is the sales team working?
How about these people who are like on Instagram sharing their badges and everything that they win for like 3 consecutive workout days and things like that?
You mean like you?
It's obnoxious. I haven't done any of that.
Didn't you post a story like the other day?
Show
like
dopes like you who can't keep your mouth shut that I'm still doing it because you like to be
you're
sarcastic
the one that
Sally
it up donkey
so sarcastic Sally
I know
Sally.
You
hey the kids are in the back of the car
oh they are
yeah, we're all here right now just listening to mom and dad
shut up and play your iPad
okay all right. Oh hold on we have something very important that we have to get to right now.
The Truck Day countdown clock is at 12 days.
All right, 12 days until the Red Sox equipment truck leaves for Florida.
Now that's just what I'm talking about.
That's very.
Will there be a manager on that truck?
Yes. All right. If you would like to be on this morning, the number is 617-779-7937. Or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. This is Mike from Framingham. Hello, Mike.
How you doing? If you ever Google 8 common mistakes we make while speaking English, Wiggy makes all 8. I think he probably makes 8 more, too.
Yeah. He introduced like 17 more.
Wiggy does a fine job. I don't know. People get all over Wiggy for grammar.
You know what he means.
And
this, that, and the other.
At the end of the day.
He knows what he's talking about.
Well, let's not go that far.
What?
Let's not go that far.
I mean...
Not all of his predictions turned out to be spot on this football season.
He drives Curtis nuts. I mean, he absolutely drives Curtis up a wall, but...
It takes an hour to say something that most people get done in 3 seconds.
Well, but it's because he's not a... It's not his job.
It's his job. He is a host on the radio.
Well, no,
it is exactly his job.
He's providing an informed opinion. I mean, like he did in the Aaron Hernandez documentary. You know, because he was so close to Aaron Hernandez.
705 words to say, I admired Odin Lloyd's mother.
Basically.
Wow. The Gettysburg Address was almost as long as Wiggy's comment about Odin Lloyd's mother.
That's no sane person.
He called him, what do we have Monday? We had Shaquan Barkley. That was my personal favorite.
Montana.
This texter says that Wiggy creates actual new grammatical errors that have never existed in the English language before.
Correct.
I don't think that's true.
I'm not saying that he's no better.
Well, he likes the double negatives, but that's okay.
Right, it's fine. It's fine.
Now he's in a coma. And
There's nothing wrong with that.
You got to win the table.
Amen.
Would you not love to have if the tech people at EEI could give us like a Wiggy soundboard or a Wiggy app you could download for your phone? How handy would that come in?
I think it would.
Why not nip it in the butt?
Well, even better than the ham horn.
Danielle, do not say ham horn when you clearly see me sipping.
Here's a text that says, Greg, the difference is that Danielle works out with real weights. Not a lame cardio bike that is hyped up.
That's all right. He's doing something. I give you all the credit in the world for your consistency, despite us giving you a hard time for it.
I get it that people think, I used to think it was hyped up too. And it might not be your thing.
Right.
For me, it's about the instructor and the... Not
Olivia.
It's about currently about Olivia. Uh-huh. It used to be about Hannah, but I moved on from her. They do a good job. Of motivating you. And here's a
that has nothing to do with it, Ken. Come on.
Ken, I'm on the bike. I'm not sitting there watching it, you know, in my underwear. Here's a visual image for you. You sweat more on the Peloton than any other physical activity that you've ever Curtis, you go on your hardo 12-mile runs or whatever it is, you would sweat more on a and I'm not being paid. I don't. There's not. It's just. I call it like it is. I was very critical of the whole entire organization, the people who loved it leading up to it, but I can admit when I'm wrong.
I now am realizing why Danielle hated Workout Greg. This is unprecedented, idiotic talk about something that you know nothing about, but it is working for you, I think.
It's when the running started, Curtis. That's, you know, it's just, I have just the memories from that.
Here's a text asking if we are still going to be doing Joe Castiglione, Name That Tune this year. Yes, we'll do that opening day. Joe Castiglione, Name That Tune, right? As long as Joe is willing to participate.
What about a Truck Day premiere for that?
maybe we should do it on Truck Day.
Tunes for the truck.
All right, we got to get to what is trending.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Are you looking for a real size entree with great flavor? Available all day, every day for just $9.99. Check out the 99 restaurants. Try one of their non-real size entrees for $9.99, like their classic country fried chicken, the 99, always the real deal. Nice comeback win for the Bruins. It'll be the last game in a while. They are all going tropical places. Well, most of them. I think Bergeron's going back home to Canada. Here was a little bit of Cassidy after the 3-2 win. DeBrusque and Krejci, the goals in the third to win it.
You know, we did some good things this first, I won't call it half anymore, but first stretch. You know, enjoy yourself, get away, wherever you're going, mentally cleanse. But understand that we get back, we get out pretty quick. So, you know, be a professional. By that, you know, you do have to look after yourself.
So we'll see if any headlines made by Bruins players over the next 10 days. Pretty good spot, though, in the trade deadline late February, Hillman. So they could make a move or two. Cup run in their future, maybe?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering what's going to happen with Krug. That's a big question in my mind.
But they won't trade him. I mean, they'll either just ride him out or sign him in the offseason. Yeah, I'm not optimistic about that.
I'm kind of surprised that they haven't gotten a deal done yet.
Well, you know him. What's
not really. I mean, it's sort of. It's not like he's calling me confidentially to talk about what his deal is going to be or whatever.
Well, like Walter McCarty. He called you in a spirited phone call last night. Jeez.
No, this is upsetting, this Walter McCarty news today.
Dismissed from the University of Evansville. An investigation launched into his alleged sexual misconduct and Title IX violations. It's weird. It's weird lumped together. Like, how is that?
Well, I believe that they described it as conduct with the college community. Is that the Evansville community? I don't know what that means, whether that
means either
student or employee or something like that, but that's not good.
Meanwhile, the Super Bowl hype is building. Curtis said the prop bets are out. Fitzy is on this Curtis train of, look, if the ratings were down in the AFC title game, everybody misses the Patriots. I mean, nobody outside of this region is missing.
Dude, they were down 20%.
It was a blowout.
That doesn't even, it doesn't have
it. Was over at the half.
No, it was only 21-17, and it wasn't even 28-17 until 30 seconds left at the end of the third quarter. It's because nobody was that interested in the matchup. Tennessee, for all the Derrick Henry records he set, rumbling and stumbling on the way there, is not as compelling. You need the bad guy. America wants the Patriots in there as much as they say they don't. You want the bad guy in that game.
Greg, your guy that's preparing for the apocalypse will like this prop bet. Will there be a power outage in the stadium during the game?
Ooh.
50-1 odds, yes.
All right.
And will Kiara Mia tweet about Jimmy G during the game? -150 for yes.
Huge week for Kiara Mia. Don't you think? Publicity-wise, she should be everywhere.
I am so in on the 49ers. I am all in on the Niners in this game.
You know
KC's
what?
-1
Richard
right
Sherman?
Now.
Are you in for football reasons or because you don't want the Chiefs to win?
I do not want to see the Instagram of Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend celebrating.
Same.
But I also believe I can't. I'll quit Twitter but also, I do honestly think people are sleeping on Garoppolo. I think he's going to have a hell of a game.
You do?
Uh-huh.
I do. Throw, like, what, 9 passes in the
He
Super
only threw
Bowl?
8 passes, but when he needed to on the road against the Saints, he lit it up. He got the job done.
Celtics-Grizz tonight, 7:30 tip at the Garden, and the Baseball Hall of Fame inducts Jeter and Walker maybe next year for Curt Schilling. It's the Greg Hill Show.
We're back with the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Hey, Curtis, pretty good question from a texter. How do they stop the maintenance guys at the stadium in Miami from placing a prop bet on the power going out during the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Good point.
That could be like that McDonald's Monopoly scandal all over again. Are you watching that documentary?
No.
It's really good.
It sounds incredible.
It's a docu-series, but it's really good. Speaking of documentaries, joining us right now to talk a little bit about a forthcoming documentary called The Great Brady Heist is Gautam Chopra. Hey, Gautam, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Thanks for being on this morning. This looks pretty good. What was the impetus for this? And don't say the theft of the jersey. What made you guys decide that you were going to go for this?
Yeah, you know, it was like almost a year and a half ago, I think, Fox Sports actually approached us, you know, knowing that I'd worked on Tom versus Time with Tom, said, hey, you know, we have basically all this footage. People had heard the story about Tom's jersey being stolen after the Falcons Super Bowl. But they had all this footage, both from, you know, broadcasting the game, all the cameras, of course, they have around, all the closed circuit, you know, footage from the locker rooms and everything. So they had a lot of footage of that jersey literally being stolen and all the mystery and drama around it. And so they said, what do you guys think about putting together something that would be, you know, very different than Tom versus Time, but, you know, really ideally require Tom. And I just looked at the footage and I thought it was pretty amazing. I mean, because we had all kind of read and heard about it, but there was so much. I mean, it's a documentary filmmaker's dream when you're looking at that sort of stuff. To be able to use it to put together a fun story. So was sort of like the impetus.
Did Tom participate?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's kind of where I got involved because I didn't direct this. You know, I'm an executive producer, so I helped like sort of put it all together. And you know, we reached out to NFL Films to be a part of it. And so I talked to Tom and, you know, asked him if he would be, you know, willing to do an interview and just get his take on it, and he was. And so, yeah, he's a part of it.
What, to you, what was the most interesting thing that you learned or footage that you discovered, while, or at least that you saw the team discover as a producer?
I mean, I think the bigger sort of drama, right? Like, it's the jersey, but the FBI got involved. The Mexican Federales got involved. The Texas Rangers, you know, the police force got involved. Like, why? Like, I mean, yes, it's crazy and it's a crime and stuff like that. But, like, why did everyone get obsessed with this? Why do people care so much about this one jersey? And, I mean, you know, I think there's some intuitive answers to that. But I think that was, like, the bigger thing is, like, why do we invest so much of ourselves in these, you know, items? So we can all go to NFL.com right now and buy a Tom Brady jersey. And I guess, you know, if Tom signs it, the value goes up a little bit. And if it's a game-worn jersey, the value goes up still more. But, I mean, this was, like, next level.
Well, I think they got involved. They got involved because it's Tom Brady.
Right.
That's
right. I got them. I had referred to it while it was happening as Operation Zero Dark Jersey, because I thought it was like the greatest international hunt for a piece of memorabilia ever. While you were putting this together in documentary form, did you encounter like what previously had been the greatest manhunt for a piece of sports memorabilia? Does anything compare to this ever?
Nothing compares. I mean, and once, you know, as you'll see in the film, like this guy, the perpetrator, this isn't the first time. This is definitely the most highly prized, you know, item that he's managed to get his hands on. But, you know, there was like Von Miller jerseys have gone missing and cleats have gone missing. And yeah, I mean, there's a whole like, you know, narrative and around this kind of idea of memorabilia, you know, going missing. Baseballs, you know, yeah, stuff like that.
And you're actually able to speak to him. I mean, you actually sit down and the filmmakers sit down and speak to him. Was it hard to track him down? Is he still in Mexico?
He's still in Mexico. You know, part of the deal that he cut, you know, in terms of returning that jersey was, I think, to, you know, not get prosecuted for this. And he was, you know, like, we have good researchers and people. So, like, he wasn't impossible to track down. I think the bigger question is, like, once we track him down, would he be willing to, you know, talk about it? Because he never had before. And he was. And so that's a pretty cool reveal just in the film. Because it's a little bit of Wizard of Oz. Like, you go on this hunt and there's all this drama around this thing. And then, man, who's this guy? Like, who is the guy at the heart of it? And it turns out to be pretty revealing, you know, in terms of who he is and his personality and why he did it and what he had to say.
And, you know, Nick is right. I mean, do we think that this has happened at a previous Super Bowl, or was this the...
There were rumblings about the 49 jersey, too, right?
Yeah. It has happened. It had never happened. I mean, again, part of it's just Tom, part of it's that game in particular, the greatest comeback, et cetera. So I think just the stakes were so much higher. But yeah, it's happened, and it's happened at different... Like I said, there's like a little story about Von Miller. You know, I think it's his cleats had gone, or helmet, I think, had gone missing. So it's definitely happened before, but not at this level.
It's airing on Friday, Gotham, or is it airing tomorrow night?
No, it's premiering. So we are doing some screenings, and actually there's one tomorrow in Boston that I'll be at. But I think it's next weekend. They're doing it in Fox Sports the night before the Super Bowl. Okay. You know, they're broadcasting the Super Bowl, so it's part of their whole promotional stuff.
Well, I mean, considering that we're all the Jersey Watch was the biggest thing a couple of years ago in Gotham, and now we're all doing Brady Watch. So since we have someone who's in the Brady Circle of Trust, it would be foolish if we didn't ask you if you have any insight on Tom's future, or where do you think his best interests lay in the coming months?
I don't. You know, like Tom's pretty transparent, like, even, you know, privately. And so, like, what he said to me is kind of what he said publicly, you know, on the Westwood One stuff he does with Jim Gray, which is he loves the team he's played for. He loves the owner. He's best coach, all of that. He's also never been in free agency. So he's sort of just like going, you know, curiously through this process. But also the impression I get right now, and sadly, you know, as a Patriots fan, everything is, you know, sort of come early this year, but it's the same process he goes. He's spending so much time with his family. You know, he disappears off to Montana to go skiing, stuff like that. And I don't know that he's particularly obsessing over free agency or what he's doing next. That's the impression I get. And again, I don't like call him up and, you know, it's one way to make sure your phone calls never turn from Tom Brady's, bug him about, you know, what he's going to be doing in a couple of months, which team he's going to be playing for. So.
I'd actually like your help. I want to do, Tom E. Curran and I are going to do competing documentaries, and I'd like mine to be called the Great Real Estate Document Heist, where we go down to Greenwich, Connecticut, and find out if there are any documents that prove that Tom Brady has purchased a home in Greenwich, Connecticut. So will you help me with that documentary, Gotham?
All I can tell you is I have not been summoned to Greenwich, Connecticut as yet. So I have no... Yeah, I mean, no. I saw your report. I too was curious, like, on it, and because you know I'm around, but I'd never been told about anything in Connecticut. So
all right, well, that'll make Tommy Curran happy.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm a huge documentary guy, so I'm looking forward to the Great Brady Heist, and I thank you for being on with us this morning.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, well, sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
I'm in.
Yeah,
of course I'll watch it.
Sounds pretty good. Of course, I believe OJ had a memorable hunt for some memorabilia. Several texters are pointing out.
It went well for him.
I think he caught himself with some news there when he said, as a Patriots fan, I don't like this. And then he sort of pivoted away when he was talking about Brady's future.
Mm-hmm. He's like the rest of us, which means that even somebody who is almost, if there were such a thing as the estate documentarian of the Bradys and the Brady legacy, even he's a fan. Even he can't help it.
That's what he does, is he documents the legacy.
Well, I'm just saying, like, Tom versus Time is the closest thing we have to it. That's the greatest insight you've gotten into the day-to-day operations of the Brady life.
Yeah. Can we rewind to Zero Dark Jersey? What the hell was that?
I love that.
That's what Nick...
That's my Nick's cheesy ding-dong line of the day, Ken. That's how I referred to it, Ken. I thought it was clever. And you can go F yourself.
Wow. All righty then.
Let's see. Are you going to the screening tomorrow night? A texter wants to know, have you got your way into... Or have you
no,
worked
I've been
your way?
From it,
Oh, there's a restraining order. You're not allowed.
I actually envy the Mexican gentleman who stole the jersey. Who would want to get their hands on that? Do you think that thing is like guarded now, like under lock and key, you know, freaking lasers and everything at this point?
Sitting in Greenwich.
Yeah, it's probably down in
The first thing they put in Greenwich. That's right.
It's the carriage house.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
It's at the house in Greenwich.
Super Bowl 51 jersey. A whole that's the world we live in now, by the way. There's a one-hour documentary. Thank you for your content about the hunt for a Super Bowl jersey.
But I think do you believe him when he says that they haven't talked about it? I think he's right. I mean, I think that's the last thing you want to bring up if you're Deepak Chopra, if you're Gotham Chopra, and you're having a conversation with Tom. You're not going to ask him, "Hey, where you're going to stay with it?" Like, it's the
last they did talk about it though. He said he's told him the same thing he's told Jim Gray, so he got the stock answer.
Yeah. But he said he told you right there too. If you the fastest way to not get your call returned by Tom Brady is say, "Hey Tom, just curious where you're playing in a couple."
Say,
minutes.
"Hey, it's Fitzy."
Yep. Oh, that.
But Hillman, aren't you more alarmed by the Kraft verbiage "we plan to" than encouraged by that for Brady's return?
What do you expect?
Plan to.
If you missed Ken's lead this morning at 6 at the start of the show, it was about Robert Kraft, who was in New York last night and was asked about Tom Brady and about keeping Tom Brady, and he said, "We plan to." What do you expect that he's going to say? What does that indicate?
That is so calculated setting up the next step, which is they're going to blame Brady and probably Giselle. We wanted to bring him back. They wanted to go somewhere else. It's his fault, not ours. Instead of saying he's coming back.
I don't think
that's cynical.
I don't think that says that. I don't think we I think we plan to. What would you prefer as an answer from Robert Kraft?
He's not going anywhere. He's coming back.
We're going to do whatever,
we're gonna get it done.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Exactly.
So those three words would have been more encouraging to you. Whatever it takes versus we plan to.
Of course.
Optimism and hope in the words "we plan to." That's what they're planning to do. They plan to bring him back. Those are their plans. It's a matter of if Tom wants to come back as well, and maybe he has yet to inform them.
Bob Kraft is petrified of what's going to happen when Brady leaves. He is going to do whatever he can to put this on Tom and Belichick.
Petrified of the reaction of the fans is what you're saying,
when
correct?
I talked to people, I was with family in Florida this weekend, and people came up to me and said, "Do you really think he's leaving?" And I said, "Yes." People are not ready mentally. When you actually say yes, that's not BS for the radio. I don't do that. I do believe he's leaving. They're like, "How can this possibly happen? How can Bob Kraft let this happen?" We did the poll. 30% said they would root for another team of diehard Patriots fans if Brady leaves. That is a significant portion of your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Danielle reads a lot into social media.
I do.
What do you make of Tom and his response to the "Stay Tom" that was shoveled into the lagoon ice on the ice over at the public garden?
That he reposted it in his story?
Yeah, and he said, love love all of you" or something like that. What does that indicate to you?
That was kind of ambiguous because the "love all of you" could go either way. It could be like, "I'm staying," or it could be like, "Thanks for this lovely sentiment, but I'm out." I don't think that was indicative of much.
At least he acknowledged it, which means he's not completely emotionally distanced himself from everyone saying, "I'm going to carterize that wound right now." It's optimism. It's optimism. I swear to God, it's like you're not allowed to be a fan. You have to just work here and be completely dispassionate. You have to dislike everything that you were taught to like in order to work at this.
But you don't want him to stay. That's the irony.
I never said that. You are putting words.
And he's upset that he's underpaid.
You are putting words through the toxic sinkhole that is your mouth to what you think are my thoughts.
Did you not say you would not pay him more than $25 million a year?
I think a fair offer would be that Breeze type deal. And as long as he gets that, plus maybe a little input at the dinner table for some personnel control. "Tom, we're going to get you this. Tom, we're going to bring you back that." They sit down. They have a nice little supper. As Wiggy likes to call them, the consigliere. They do their little sit down. And then, maybe they iron out their issues. "Here's the money. We love you, Tom. Let's rock and roll."
But this is
run it back, Ken. Run it back.
But this is the annoying part of this run up to March 18th. Is it March 18th, the deadline?
17th, actually. He can start talking to other teams, I think.
So
16th.
You're going to have people, all of us, there's only one person who knows what is going to happen, and that's Tom Brady. Everybody else is speculating. So now you're going to speculate on three words from Robert Kraft. Like, Here's a texter who says they would have preferred that he said we're going to do our best to keep him, or we really hope so, as opposed to saying we plan to. I mean,
it sounds like a guy who's lost all control and is just whistling past the graveyard. Like, he feels like he's going to swoop in at the 11th hour and get it done, and it's not going to happen. Brady's going to go to free agency and get huge offers, not $25 million a year, $40 million a year.
Now, we plan to is actually three other words. Don't blame me.
Well, this texter says it's going to be all on Tom Brady if he leaves and not on the Crafts whatsoever. I don't
buy that.
Nope.
No, that's not all on Tom Brady. If they come in and if they lowball him and he gets frozen out of game planning, or he doesn't get a chance to say, hey, okay, just get me this receiver and I want this tight end as opposed to that Ocean State job lot bag of balls that you gave me last year at the tight end position, and they don't do that, then why wouldn't he go out someplace and have another coach just romance him and wine and dine him, say, Tom, 2 for 70, plus you can pick your wide receivers. Tell us how to spend the money.
Drew Brees retires, Tom Brady signs with the Saints, and Jarrett Stidham's your opening day starter. You think that people around here are going to blame Brady?
Oh, God. Is that the team that's going to come in out of nowhere, like Adam Schefter says?
Talk to Mr. Kraft. Come on.
Imagine that.
Here's a 617 text asking whether Stay Tom would fit on the Prue. And I think it would.
They could make it work.
If anybody's listening over there at the Prudential
Center.
That's
a nice one, Greg.
That's
I
the
like
phrase.
That
should be the phrase. Stay Tom.
Stay Tom.
If you're creating a sign or you're displaying it in some way, that should be the phrase. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Council Member Cedillo and I introduced this motion to acknowledge that the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox cheated in the 2017 and 2018 World Series. This is something that we should push back against, and there should be consequences. Whether it's cheating on college applications, which is one scandal, whether it's performance-enhancing drugs, which we've seen as a scandal across a number of sports, even the question of whether Donald Trump did things to his political advantage.
The city council in Los Angeles voting unanimously to demand that Major League Baseball strip the 17 and 18 World Series titles, respectively, from the Red Sox and the Astros, and hand them over to the people of Los Angeles. Would they have, if that were to happen, would they have two separate parades, or would it be one parade?
Probably the most carbon neutral option. You'd have one parade.
Only one parade because of carbon neutral.
Yes.
Point. Plus one.
Only one parade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that's ever happened in professional sports. Am I correct about that?
Correct.
College would be the only example that
UMass is very good at taking down banners.
Yeah. Do you believe that Major League Baseball would indeed do this? Or
no. With legalized sports betting, there is not a chance in hell that they would start messing with outcomes of games, considering the amount of money that changes hands.
It's insane. Nothing is even proven yet from 2018. You can try to lay claim to 2017, but this is the worst reach I've heard. And listen, I know bad reaches.
I mean,
but 17 is pretty much stripped. I mean, maybe not officially, but it's dead. I mean, they have killed the Astros world title, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody believes that was on the up and up. Nobody.
So why wouldn't they go ahead and hand it over then?
Yeah.
I mean, it might be the right thing to do. I mean,
should have asked Gotham Chopra if he was going to produce a one-hour documentary on Altuve's jersey in the buzzer.
Can we go back to the Red Sox with this just for a second, considering that everybody around here has now moved on, saying Cora didn't do it here. You know, he did it in Houston. The Athletics is going to come up with nothing, or the commissioner is going to come up with nothing in terms of punishment for the Red Sox. Think about a guy who wins a World Series as a bench coach by implementing this cheating scandal. I mean, this cheating apparatus himself, according to the Astros and MLB, arrives in Boston and decides to stop doing that entirely after he just used it to win a World Series in Houston, knowing full well that Houston is still likely implementing that same thing when they're facing them in the ALCS and are saying they have nothing on the Red Sox.
Well, that just means
they're better at covering it up, maybe, but they were still doing it.
But if they have something on them, why are Sam Kennedy and John Henry and everybody else over there so confident?
Because they made a deal with Manfred. They said, we'll get rid of Cora. We'll do whatever you ask. Just don't sully our World Series.
Reserve judgment.
Whoa, what if, they had to cough up Cora to be able to sweep everything under the proverbial sports rug? I like that, Curtis. That's a nice one.
So Cora is essentially like AB's trainer yesterday, where he's the fall guy.
I think they believe that by letting Cora go, it's done. But I don't. Once they start digging into this, and other players start squealing, and the Astros start bitching, because imagine they let the Red Sox off. Houston is going to go crazy. Jim Crane is going to go nuts.
Here's a text that says, I actually think that Major League Baseball ought to do the right thing and give the titles to the people of Los Angeles. That's got to be a texter from the area.
Or how about this? Since baseball needs ratings, Greg, you force them to vacate the 2017 and 2018 World Series.
And play one game for it?
One game for each.
Ooh, Super Bowl Sunday.
In only T-shirts and shorts on a neutral field.
Yes,
no, we'll do it on the Shoeless Joe field where the Yankees are playing in Iowa. We'll do it right out there.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, more likely is the fact that the Red Sox owners knew Cora cheated with Houston, and that's the reason they sought him out in the first place. Like, it's probably possible, though, right? Yeah. They probably knew Houston was cheating in 17. So then you go and hire Cora, who you knew was involved. I mean, you knew that's part of the package.
But John Henry's newspaper, with Alex Speer reporting on Cora, does this 3,000-word thing about every second how Cora was told he was being let go, the meetings that led up to that decision, finding out about Manfred's ruling on the Astros, and at no point in the story is anything about Cora being asked of whether or not he implemented that cheating apparatus with the Red Sox. I mean, it's like they're trying to just completely gloss over that entirely.
I think if they're going to strip the title and give it to anybody, they're going to have to replay the whole entire playoff series.
Right.
I mean, you can't just go to the top. No, can't just go right to the World Series.
One game. Everyone knows the rules. One game, right out in the cornfield. I want everyone in shirts and T-shirts, you know, just like skivs. Just get out there. You can't wear a wire. No one else out there. Like the Rocky III fight, Greg, at the end between Apollo and Rocky.
Yeah, yeah. This is Peter. Hello, Peter.
Yeah, I'm saying, okay, you had proven it was cheating, like in 2017. But can you say for certain that if that cheating was removed, that other team still would have won? Or would it have been the same outcome even without the cheating?
No.
There's no way to prove one way or the other. So you can prove there was cheating, but you can't just take the title and give it to another team and say, oh, they would have won without the cheating, because we don't know. The only way to know is to replay those games, and you can't do that.
No. I mean, there's no precedent set for it whatsoever other than college football.
And college basketball.
And college basketball?
Oh, yeah. The UMass Final Four was removed
entirely. Because of the Marcus Camby and the necklace.
Because they were being paid more than Nomar.
And then there were all those point-shaving scandals in the 50s back then with the NYU and all the city colleges.
Well, there was a BC one.
Don't know anything about it.
Do not have anything to add.
Allegedly.
This is a good 30 for 30 on that, right? On that BC
Excellent
one?
30 for 30 on it.
Yeah.
But even more relevant, I mean, I wonder if players will sue the league or something down the road. Like Clayton Kershaw, does he file a lawsuit for lost wages and like damaged reputation?
You have a massive World Series bonus, right?
Just think about everything's based
think
off
about
your
Dave
playoff
Roberts.
Success.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's a text asking if there are people that still watch baseball. Yeah, that's Ken. Mm-hmm. Ken is still. What about at the very least, here's a text from Maine. Shouldn't the Dodgers get the forfeited Astros draft picks?
Yeah, but what about the Yankees? Astros beat the Yankees as well. What do they get? You know, they beat the Yankees to get to the World Series.
I'll get nothing and like it.
And how about the Mets? They hire Beltran because they think he's a good guy for the job. Can that franchise get out of its own way? Really? Has there ever been a franchise that shoots itself in the foot more than the Mets?
God.
I root against the Mets because Bill Maher is a part owner.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
All All right. Well, I'm not sure that the Los Angeles City Council is going to get their way, but they're focused on the really important things, and that is getting those World Series titles.
Thank goodness.
And have they initiated any kind of a gas fee out there?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Tax.
Fee.
Tax.
The governor called it a fee last night.
The governor spelled tax wrong.
When is the governor coming in next?
I don't know. You tell us.
I think he's going to be in. He's probably not going to come in
the
now
8th
for
of
breakfast
February.
With Baker. I mean, listen, I like, you know me, I like a lot of what Charlie Baker has done. I think he's done a great job. I really do. But to stand up there last night and to suggest a near 17% or 17 cents increase per gallon of gas.
And that's just the first year.
In the name of trying to get us to be carbon neutral is ridiculous.
So tonight, I'm committing the Commonwealth to achieving an ambitious climate goal. Net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050.
And Charlie, Governor Baker is going to come in here once he gets on the monorail that he's building right now.
What do you think the average increase per family is on something like that a year? So, I mean, how many gallons of gas would you guess the average person in Massachusetts goes through in a year? I mean, what do you fill up once a week or something?
Once a week. So you say the average, gas tanks usually are anywhere between like 11 and 15 gallons. So let's just say like 12 or 13. So you're going to do 12 is about $2 per person times four. So that's $4 extra a week times 52 weeks. That's going to turn out to be between $2 and $250 probably per average household. That's not driving 80 miles a day, Greg, but driving your average commuter 11 to 15 miles stuck in traffic.
I mean, and the only choice, the alternative that they offer, the only one is public transportation.
Which sucks.
Which can't be relied upon at all. I don't know. Ken says it's no big deal, right? Ken, you don't care about the extra $250, $500 a year, whatever it is.
If it's worth it, if it's put to good use, if it improves transportation, if it encourages people to buy more fuel efficient cars and for people to produce them, and it saves the planet, I would say it's worth it.
Saves the planet.
Live closer to work. Telecommute. Do what you have to
do. Get rid of the tax free holiday.
Save the planet.
That's useless.
One day gone, then you have the same amount of money you can give it to his monorail.
I think it's way more than that, by the way. I think your math has got to be, it's got to be off.
No, if you have, 17 cents times a 12 gallon is $2.04.
But is the average gas tank only 12 gallons?
That seems small.
I have a small SUV and mine is 15.
Yours is what, 15?
15.
I drive a CRV. It's a 12 gallon tank.
And do you only fill up once a week or do you get pumped twice a week?
I tip when I get pumped. $3 a time.
Okay. Right, how many times do you fill up in a week?
I'd say I fill my gas tank once every 5 days. So it's a little bit more than once a week.
So that would be 73 times a year?
Yeah. So
my math is $265 a year for a normal family.
So, Greg, your vehicle, I think, has a 26-gallon gas tank.
Okay.
So.
And it doesn't get great gas mileage because, it's a gas guzzler. It's one of those gas guzzling SUVs that are destroying the planet.
And they can't even give you a spare tire.
So I get to fill up a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Not to mention, a caller pointed this out earlier, not only do you have to pay the gas fee, tax, but you also, everything else that you buy goes up as well.
Oh, it's not just the gas.
Because everybody's passing, so whatever you're getting delivered at home, whatever's getting delivered to the place where you go out to eat.
They don't absorb those costs. That gets passed on to you.
Everything goes up. Everything goes up.
Okay, if we all agree that maybe trying to be, carbon zero, net zero by 2050 is a good idea, how else, since we all like to come with the, all right, well, let's not deny until we have some suggestions ourselves. Do you have any ideas yourself, Greg? I know you're not a climatologist, nor do you play one on television.
What?
Do you have any suggestions as to how we may be able to limit emissions or make ourselves more carbon friendly in 30 years?
Yes, we could all go dark. We could have an hour at night where the entire state shuts their lights off and their electricity off.
Zero dark Jersey.
Yes.
What is this, the Philippines?
I have another idea. Let's ban private jet use. Okay, I'm all for it.
Sure.
That works for me. And the other point here is our relations with Iran and the Middle East aren't exactly great. Let's say that they do an embargo on fuel to us and the gas prices go up to $4 a gallon. Are we all going to be okay then with an additional 17 cents?
Here's a text that says 13 gallons times 52 weeks times $2 is $1,300. For a lot of people, it's a significant increase. Hello, Peter.
Yeah, I'm originally from Mattapan, but I live in New Bedford right now.
Yes.
And me and my wife have to travel all the way to Boston just to find work, to get work. She makes $30 an hour. So there's nothing like that in New Bedford. There's no commuter rail. There's no MBTA. So we have to drive 100-something miles, each of us, in two different cars. So it's a lot more for people, when you think outside the box, that have to actually commute and drive into Boston and drive back to where they live
right.
to make a living. It's
yeah.
way more than that.
For a lot of families, it's times two. Because they got two vehicles. Because they have to have two vehicles.
Yes, but that person with the 1300 math was off because they were saying
17 cents a gallon.
Yeah, they were saying $2. $2 is the total for the fill up, not per gallon. So that math was off.
This is Brian from Wilmington. Brian,
how you doing?
What's up, Brian?
First time caller. I was just giving some thoughts on the public transportation. If first of all, they don't have enough parking in the lots for people to park their cars there.
Correct.
Second of all, you're also missing what they charge you per day to park your car. So that's even more of an expense.
Yes,
correct. That was my thought. I'll listen to you for your comments.
Well, Curtis said it earlier. Several callers have said it. If public transportation is so great and a viable alternative, why are we reimbursing our elected officials to get to and from the state house right. in their own personal vehicles?
Gas-guzzling foreign-made SUVs.
Where is Senator Barry Feingold, who's always texting me about coming on the show? Why is he not calling right now and saying we will forego our per diem? And is Barry Feingold taking public transportation to work? What's your guess? Do you think he's getting
no.
on?
I'm gonna say
do you
no.
think he's? Do you think he's
so.
Getting, is the Senate president getting, I think it's well documented that they're not getting on the MBTA and taking it to and from the state house every single day, right?
Mm-hmm.
He uses one of those Uber birds.
Uber birds.
Hello, Brock.
How's it going?
What's
so
up?
Things like this drive me mental because this is so backwards. They shouldn't be punishing people for driving gas vehicles. They should be increasing the reward and incentivizing people for driving the EV vehicles and stuff like that, hybrid. It's so backwards to increase the price on people who are already, you know, below the bracket where they can easily buy a Tesla or, you know, something like that. They need to reward people. That you don't punish the people who can't do it. You reward the people who can. You reward the companies that sell more EV vehicles every month and things like that.
Well,
increase the incentive. You don't increase the punishment. Backwards. It's insane.
That's a great point. It's a parental mentality. They think they're your parents. Mm. So if you don't brush your teeth, you either reward the kid. The guy makes a great point. You either reward your kid and say, hey, you can have dessert if you brush your teeth,
right.
or you punish the kid for not brushing his teeth. They think it's their job to force you to get rid of your big vehicle so that you're driving an electric vehicle. That's what they believe they were elected for, is to force you into economically driving the vehicle that they want you to drive.
Well, economically, how do you think it'll be in 10, 20 years if there are coastal flooding problems and severe weather problems? Don't you think the taxpayers will have to foot the bill for that? I'm sure they feel this is cheaper than the alternative.
When is this happening?
The seaport is going to be gone in five years.
When is it going to happen, Ken? Curtis brought up acid rain.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to acid rain? When is that
coming?
It's coming. It's coming. We've been warned about it for the last 70 years.
Do you not believe that coastal flooding could potentially be a drastic issue that will affect our lives and the lives of children, future generations?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I believe it was also a risk 200 years ago.
Yeah, and the person who was leading the charge on that just bought a $15 million mansion on Martha's Vineyard. So I'm sure it's really
same old. Well, it'll be a write-off when old good old Barry O watches his vineyard haven.
The pivot is all these global warming nuts have been doing since I've been adult. Every single year, there's a new reason for what's happening, and it's never the same, and it never makes sense. 1 year, paper's bad. The next year, plastic's bad.
I take back what I said earlier. Curtis is not smart.
Ken, honestly, it's going to be the sad part is it's going to be the two of us arguing over the Bruins and the Patriots on our life raft in Waterworld together as everyone else drowns. Well, great.
I believe the next time the governor is scheduled to be here is the first week of February.
Okay.
So one of you will have to throw hard balls at him about this because I'm not going to do it in his presence. I'm afraid.
I'll fall on the sword.
This is Rob. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Greg, I just wanted to mention, you know, we can solve the gas tax problem as well as climate change at the same time if we fix the highways so I don't have to sit in traffic for 2 hours to get to work.
Well, they don't
I don't know what you think about that.
Well, I think it's a great thought. However, they don't have the money to fix that because they blew it on other things. It's like the MBTA. They blew billions of dollars overpaying people at the MBTA. And when it comes, I mean, the pension system is busted. Oh,
yeah. And then that they brought that consultant in and there was this whole other thing about 5 years ago.
They have the $200,000 bathroom. They got all that stuff. So there's no money left. So now they have to tax the hardworking people who are driving their cars to work.
Does it not frustrate the common man? And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe 70 cents of every federal dollar spent is spent on entitlements.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does that not? 7 out of 10, 70% of your federal dollar is spent on paying other people for what they've done or what they probably won't do but are contractually obligated to receive, which is just infuriating. So therefore, when you look at the MBTA and people getting these giant salaries, it's insane.
All right. Sorry. Coming up tomorrow, Ask an Attorney with Larry the Lawyer at 8:15.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.